Well, good morning to all of you. I know we got some people missing because of this weather, but you're here, right? You're here, and that's a good thing, right? It's good. We just gotta admit, winter's finally here. But it came a little late, so I'm okay with that, right? We're almost halfway. We're getting close to being halfway through the month of January, and we've seen our first snow, so it's not too bad. Just hopefully the rest of the winter's not like today, so we'll be okay. But today is a special day for us. It's the day that I usually get more nervous about this than I do anything else for the rest of the year, because we're getting ready to start a fast. And I know that cringes people. Fasting is what it is. How many of y'all have never experienced fasting? Just lift your hand up. It's okay. Don't be ashamed. Now, come on. Everybody else has fasted? Okay. Now, I know the doctors told you to fast, but I'm not talking about a doctor's fast. I'm talking about a biblical fast. And a biblical fast is different than a doctor's fast, okay? Doctor's fast is for you. It's a physically fast, not eat, because they want to do some testing or something on you, and then as soon as it's done, you go garble up some food, and you're on your way. And but we're talking about a biblical fast. So this is a special time for us. So it's going to be a little bit different service this morning. I am going to use the PowerPoint today. Normally I don't always use that, but I want to use this in case you want to take notes, in case you, I want to explain to you. So it's going to be a little bit different style of preaching today, but I need to explain to you what fasting is, because we have a misunderstanding of what fasting sometimes is, how to do it, and what we're doing, and the purposes of for. But I want to tell you, first of all, it's not easy. It's not easy, and it's hard. It's not easy. It is not easy, and I don't find it very fun. I don't find fasting very fun. I don't. For me personally, I don't find it. I don't find fasting fun. But fasting is not something, as you see up on the notes, it's not something where we are asking God for presence. It's not asking God for presence, okay? It's not about boasting that you're fasting, and it's not about those things. It's not about making you better than anyone else. It doesn't make you a better Christian than everyone else. But it's fasting. Fasting is not trying to make us better above other people. It's not trying to get one up on somebody or one up on God. But fasting, it's not those things. But I will tell you, it's hard. Okay? It's hard. So as we move along, I'll just go like that, Phil, and you can kick on the next one for me. Because all right. I'm going to challenge all of us, that definitely if you're members of New Life, to fast at least sometime during this week. I'll tell you the reasons why here, but I want to tell you what it does to you. Fasting is something that it will begin to break you down. It does break you down, and there's nothing wrong with that. It breaks you down in a good way, okay? It breaks you down, okay? It breaks your will to do His will. Come on now. Our personal ideas get in the way of God. Sometimes it gets in us. We trip on our own personal wants and needs. And this separates us, breaks our will down so we may know His will. Okay? We do that. So it makes you more, when you're going through fasting, it makes you more spiritually aware, receptive. It makes you just more spiritual about knowing what's going on around you spiritually. Okay? Because there's a lot going around you spiritually. Okay? There's a lot. Okay? Allows you to put yourself in front of God in an intimate way. This is what makes it kind of nervous. An intimate way. Alright? Because as you draw closer to God, the junk in your life will start becoming revealed. Okay? I don't know why, it just works. Because as you, as a believer, you're going and you're drawing to God. God is a holy God. We're supposed to be holy. But as we draw near to Him, that other junk in our life, He's going to bring it up. I'm just telling you, He's going to bring it up. He's going to work on these things. That's why it's difficult. That's why it can be kind of messy at times. But fasting is good. It puts us there. But it brings answers. It brings answers when we pray. Because that's what fasting is. Part of it is that we're trying to get closer to God. There's something that we want God to be a part of, but it gives us a peace. There is a peace in fasting. Even though everything around you may feel like it's out of control, that there is a peace when you're going through fasting. Even in the physical world, it may not look great. It may not feel great. Everything may be out of control. But you know, inside of you, there is a peace that's going on. And when you fast, there's something special about that. All right? I'm kind of going quick because there's a few things here that we're trying to do. So, what is fasting? Okay, people have a question. What is it? Well, one of those things is it's a spiritual and physical come together. Your spiritual and physical self is going to work together at this time. You're physically going to withdraw from some food, and you're going to seek. So you're going to withdraw from food physically, but you're going to draw in spiritual food. Because through fasting, we'll talk about it. There's times when we need to read our Bible. Some things will come up. We're going to get to those in a minute. But when we fast, it's a time when we humble ourselves. And we're saying, Lord, I need you. I need you right now. We need you right now. I'm in a place that I need you. We're going to read a few of these different people who have fasted and what come out of those. But it is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Sometimes it feels like when you're in a fast, you're almost in an act of worship during the whole time. It's something personal between you and God. And some of you know right now that you've not had nothing personal between you and God in a while. And fasting brings you back to that personal time with you and God. And you'll find that you'll get less control of what's going on, and you're giving more control to Him. That's why it feels kind of odd. It feels kind of weird at times, but you're putting your full dependency on God. You're putting Him. You're depending on Him and not so much on yourself. And through that, it will increase your prayer time and your reading, your scripture time. It just does that. And fasting is putting something of importance of yourself, something that you feel that is important. You're putting that in front of yourself and in front of God. That's what you're going to talk about. That's what you're going to do. And we're going to do that here starting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Now, I know not everyone can do it. I know it's going to be very difficult for some. I know medically some of you struggle with fasting. I understand that. You do what you feel that you need to do. I'm not expecting everyone to do a full five-day fast, but it does start at 6 p.m. tomorrow night, and it goes till Friday night at 6 p.m. And some of you, I'm going to show you some ways toward the end on how to do that, and how we're going to do that, but let's continue on. Why do we fast? To ask God for something that is of importance. That's one of the reasons why we fast. Okay? Also, it's to hear from God. It's to draw to God. And we do it because it's biblical. And there's some other reasons, but because it's biblical. We see it in the Old Testament so many times, and we see it also in the New Testament. But we don't see it today in our churches. Why is that? We're not supposed to pick and choose what we like and what we do and what we don't like out of the Bible, but we are called to do the things that God has in His Word. And one of those things is we are to fast. We'll fast when the doctor tells us, but we won't fast when the church says to fast. It's too hard. I know it's hard. But we need to learn to fast as a corporate, as a fellowship of believers, but also you need to find times in your own life where you need to fast for certain things. For whatever they may be. But fasting is biblical. It is biblical. And it doesn't mean that you need to fast for 40 days. I've known a few people to fast for 40 days. Very few can do that. And you better have a reason to do it. But it is biblical. And our churches today want to know why they're struggling. Why they're not hearing from God. Jesus said, my house should be a house of prayer. It's also a house of fasting. Okay. I want to show you some examples today of fasting. I'm going to kind of go through a couple of these because I want to tell you that when you fast, it isn't that you always get what you want. You don't always get what you want in fasting. But when you understand who God is, you'll know that you're going to put yourself in front of Him. King David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and messed up there. And God saw that and God called him out on that through a prophet. And there was a baby that was out of wedlock and was replied that the baby was going to die. The prophet said the baby was not going to live. So David begins to fast. He fasts. And let's jump in there for a moment and let's see how this conversation goes about the fasting. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 18, on the seventh day the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they thought, while the child was still living, we spoke to David, but he would not listen to us. How can we tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his servants were whispering among themselves, and he realized that the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they answered, he is dead. Then David got up from the ground after he had washed and put on lotions and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and he had request that they serve him food, and he ate. And his servants asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat. And he answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? But I will go to him, but he will not come to me. There's a part here that David was in a very, very tough position. He knew no man could help him through that. He had sinned before God. They had a conversation through that with the prophet, and God told the prophet to tell David that the child was going to die. David began a fast, and when the child died, he stopped the fast. People will say, why are you stopping? Why aren't you fasting now that the child is dead? But he said, there's nothing that I can do. I thought maybe God would make a change, God would do something, but God did not. The child died just as God said. But he also knew there was a problem. He said, I knew I will go to him one day, but he cannot come to me. I want to tell you, there is power in fasting, even when God doesn't answer it the way you think he ought to answer it. There's a closeness that he got with God through this fasting. He threw himself down on the ground and fasted through his tears and his pains and sufferings as a believer and follower of God. And through his sinful acts, he went to God, asking God to replenish and pull back from the discipline and the things that God was going to do, but God chose not to. But there's still a strong strength in fasting. Everything that David had, he threw and gave to God during that moment. You can fast through brokenness, is what I'm saying. You can fast for a need through brokenness. Now, what we find out later on is we don't have time to go through Scripture, but God blessed him as he went on in his life with his wife, and they had the future king, which would be Solomon. So God blessed them with a child when they did it the right way. And David learned. And the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Why is that? Because when David messed up, he was a man of forgiveness and repentance. He sought God. He was broken when he sinned before God. Every time. He was broken when he was called out. And he pleaded toward God. He took God seriously and his relationship. And there were times when he had fasted. I want you to turn over to Jonah chapter 2 or chapter 3. So I want to tell you, sometimes when you fast, it doesn't turn out the way that you think it's going to turn out, but it doesn't mean fasting's wrong. Fasting is still a good thing to do. God's not always going to answer the way that you are asking. We don't strong arm God. Don't try to strong arm God. Don't try that. Don't try to strong arm God. Another one of those times of fasting, there's so many in the Scriptures, but I chose Jonah today. The story here is not really too much about Jonah, but about the people of Nineveh. Jonah gave them a message. God said, send them a message. I'm going to destroy Nineveh for the sinful lifestyle that they are living. In chapter 3, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it a message that I give to you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And it says, when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne. He took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. And he said, do not let man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. So they stood there and they heard the news and they went and they began to, they became fearful of God. These are not really godly people, but they heard that God was going to do it, come and take their city from them and destroy it. So they all began to do something that they normally wouldn't do, probably, and it is fasting. And they were saying, who knows, again, may God yet relent from this fierce anger and have compassion. But what does Scripture says in verse 10? When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Fasting is powerful. Fasting is powerful stuff. I don't take fasting lightly, and I hope you don't either. Because fasting is reaching. I feel like fasting is almost like reaching and tapping God on the shoulder, even though he knows you're there and you're asking for his undivided attention. And he puts all eyes on you. And basically is, what do you have to say? I'm fasting. I want your attention, God. This is something that we need to do. I'm giving up. God sees those things. I want you to turn over to Mark. This is my last piece before we go into some more deeper parts of fasting. There's a power in fasting that people do not quite understand even still today, that fasting, prayer and fasting put together makes a great spiritual meal. It makes a very strong piece. When you're fasting, you pray, okay? Sometimes we need to slow it down a little bit and pray and do some more fasting. But people were struggling. I'm going to read just a little bit here. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus is doing some great ministries. He's doing this thing. People are coming to him. Everybody is just like, there's an awe of him. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them, with the disciples. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Everybody is running to Jesus now. Jesus says, what are you arguing about with them? He asked them, and a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Jesus does a miracle piece. He casts out that piece. And he says immediately to the boys, he says, I believe. And so what happens is the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and the spirit came out of the boy. In verse 26, the boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood. And after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? You see, there were times when they were praying over things and they were able to do those things. But here they could not do that. And Jesus replies, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. We got to sometimes put a little more oomph in our prayers, which means we need to put our full self into that. And fasting is a part of that. Fasting is a part. Do you know why this church does what it does with the size that it is? Because there's more fasting going on than what you see. There's more prayers going on than what you see. And it's not just us. It's people across the country. It's knowing that we were put on the list yesterday that we were prayed for in Indianapolis. that we were prayed for in Mississippi last week, that every day that we're prayed for by an older couple from Florida, every day for what we do here, they pray for us every day. Don't think this is all, that we are able to do this all on our own. When we lack in our prayers, there's other people praying for us. Did you hear that? When we lack in our prayer life, there are other people that are praying for us. The Fort Wayne Rescue Mission, I heard, put us on their prayer list for what we're doing in our ministries. They're 10 times bigger than we are. They are much more busy than we are, and somehow they put our name on their prayer list, and in their staff meeting, they prayed for us earlier this week. There are more people praying for us than what you will ever know, and more than what I will ever know. And there are even some of those people in there that are fasting for us as well. And if we cannot learn to pray and fast for ourselves, then we need to grow up in our walk with the Lord a little bit more. Jesus said this kind right here is going to take a little bit more than just a prayer. It's going to take some fasting. It's going to take some work. Because I'm telling you, fasting is work. Fasting is work. Okay, I'm going to show you some things. Okay. Oh, by the way, sometimes God says yes to your fast. It's awesome. It's awesome. But I will tell you, either it's no, yes, or it's somewhat, but it's different than you thought. If you do it, there's always a testimony that lifts up God. Amen? There's always a testimony. So, we at New Life are fasting. We are fasting for three things. Number one. We're fasting for spiritual strength. We need to continue to grow up in Jesus. We do. I need to continue to grow up in my walk with the Lord, and you need to continue to walk, grow up in the walk that you have. Why? Because here we are working with a lot of different folks. We need to be top-notch Christians. Doesn't make us better than anybody, but we need to be on our A game. People got mad at me a few years back when I used to say Sunday morning is like Super Bowl. It should be the Super Bowl. We should be strong every Sunday. But more or less, we need to be that way. We need to be always in good and top condition as spiritual leaders. We should. We're going to make mistakes. Don't get mad because we make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. We need to learn from them. But we need to be the Christians that God's called us to be, because we need to be at top notch. We don't just meet on Sunday morning. We have something going on every single day. If you need a vacation, take a vacation. I'll pat you on the back and say, hey, great, we'll see you when you get back. We'll put you back to work. This isn't a game. This isn't a game. I'm just telling you, this is not a game. You are the privileged. You could choose any church in this county that you want to go to. Or even you can go to Fort Wayne if you want. But somehow God's brought you here. Not just some of you are here because you need the help that we give. Others are here because you need to serve. We need you to step it up. This isn't about a country club and about the best band in town. It isn't about the doctor, pastor, or anything like that. This is getting down to the nitty-gritty, to the messiness of the life. And God put us here. And a lot of people don't want it, and that's okay. But you're here. We need to spiritually get stronger. Number two, we're praying for physical strength. This size can't do it all. We cannot do it all. We need some new people, but we also need to keep working, but we need to ask God to give us continuous strength. To continuous strength. I wonder, when God called Moses at the burning bush to go get my people and take them to the land, the promised land, the land of milk and honey, I wonder if he thought it was going to be a 3-week journey. Because we always think when God calls us something, there's always an end to that part. And we always want to bring it down. Oh, I can do that in a week. I can do that in 2 weeks. Let me tell you something. It is until God is done. We don't put time frames on it. We can't. But physical strength is something that we need to pray for. We need to continue the work in this church and with the ministries, and we need help. We need to pray that God will bring more helpers, but also that we will be able to sustain what God has given to us with our arms and our muscle and our bodies. But also financial strength. I don't talk a lot about finances here, but financial strength to continue to keep doing what we do. Because as we look in here in our church, we're not able to sustain all those financially. So we're asking for that from God. That's something. These are things that we're fasting for as a community. But there's another piece. It is this. What would you think God wants you to fast for when it comes to something in your life? What is it that you need to draw to God about? What is it you need to talk to God about? What is that piece that you need to do? And that's something you need to work at. You need to figure out, what is it that I'm going to fast for when it comes to me? Okay. I want to share with you, is there another one after that? Okay, go back. Okay. I want to share with you, before I go through this part here, of how we do it. I want you to imagine that there are two doors. This is the door that I'm going to, this is the door outside of fasting. There's a door right here, and this is outside of fasting. When I go in that door, I know if there's fasting behind that door. So I'm thinking about what I'm going to fast. I'm thinking about fasting. So I'm out this side, and the first thing I do is I start getting nervous. I get nervous every year. Now, if I do a fast during the year, if I do a day fast or a couple day fast during the rest of the year, I'm okay. But something about this time of the year, this fast is very important. And I think about this, so you get a little nervous, you get negative thoughts, some things can happen in your mind, you have a battleground going on, there's a fear of going through that door. Really, there's a fear of going through that door. But you've made a decision, you're going to walk through that door. So you open, you know, you're not sure what's all behind that door, but you know that you need to take something to God. And what you're doing is, when you open that door and you walk through to fasting, you're actually stepping toward God just a little bit closer. And you're going to shut that door, and you're going to be in this fasting area for however long you decide to stay in it. There's going to be positive thoughts, and there's going to be some other thoughts. During fasting, there is a peace that can overcome you that is what can be amazing. God can do it so many ways. This is part. He can overwhelm, he can put his whole self and let you feel his presence to where you almost can break down in tears. And you can just, I mean, I'm just saying, the presence of God can come over you during fasting in just an amazing way. But there's also parts of the fasting that can happen that may not be so nice. There can be some demonic flashing going through your head. There can be some demonic spiritual warfare attacks. There can be all those things. That's something Satan doesn't want. He doesn't want you to draw closer to God. When you draw closer to God, you become more about what God's will is. And that makes you dangerous on this world. In this world, that makes you dangerous. When you're in that fasting area, you'll have temptation at times. You'll have thoughts, I want to quit. You'll try to find a shortcut. Your stomach will tell you, feed me now. I'm hungry, feed me now. Why is everybody asking me to go out to eat tonight? Why does everybody want to pick up my meal today? Man, that smells good. Stay focused. Because I don't believe in fasting from TV. I don't believe fasting from physical sports. I don't believe fasting from the computer. I just don't believe in that. I believe it's food. Just flat out food. Because you can miss movies. You can miss all that stuff. But here it is. It's just, you need food every day. And the body says, feed me. But the spiritual body says also, feed me. And this is where you're going to feed the spiritual body. Your spiritual soul, your spirit, you're going to get in there, you're going to do it. Then what you're doing is you're praying for whatever you're praying for, you're praying in there. Now, many people will get an answer. God will answer, just as David, the child is dead, whatever it may be. And what you do, many people say, I'm going to do a 3-day fast, and within 2 days, God answers it, it's okay to step out of the room. You fasted for something and God answered. It's okay to step out of the room. You're done. You're done. Does that make sense? You're done. Thank you, God. You pray. But when you're doing a corporate one, you stick in as long as you can, and you do it. And you step out. Now, I will also tell you, in fasting, God will pull all your sins, and He'll talk to you about all those sins. It'll just come up. You're drawing close to God. Okay, it's over. You're stepping out. On this side of it, you shut the door. Listen, first of all, don't gorge yourself down at the buffet. You'll get sick, okay? Your stomach is actually shrinking. Don't do that. You will get sick. Don't go down and say, hey, let's meet down here at the pizza, whatever it is, because you will get sick. Don't gorge yourself. Go slow, okay? Well, when you come out of here, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be glad you walked through that door. You're going to be glad you spent time in that room with God. You're going to be glad that you were in there. You're going to have a testimony. Whichever way it goes, you're going to say, I know I have been with God. And you're going to come out on this side. And you may have blessings right in front of you. Woo, awesome. But I will tell you, you will grow as a Christian when you walk through that door. It is biblical. The churches, we need to do that. I've not even heard of all day. I have not even heard our nation call out a fast. Did you know that President Lincoln called four fasts? After it was all said and done, he called four fasts. And he led the way. No wonder why he's one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. Four fasts he called in that. He called four fasts and he participated in every one of them. It is powerful. It is important. So how do we do this thing? I want to step in the room, but I'm like, 5 days? I can't do that. I get that. So when you walk in, you need to make sure you walk in before you walk in. I want to give you some examples on how to do that. Fast for 12 hours. You can do 12 hours a day. Maybe you want to do daylight hours. I'll fast during the daylight hours, but I'll eat during the evening, the dark hours. Or I'll fast during the dark hours, and I'll eat during the daylight hours. Whatever it may be, I'll fast through that. Or I'm going to fast one day on and one day off. One day on, one day off. Okay? You could pick one day and fast out of the 5 days. I'm okay with that. You could pick 2 days. You're okay with that. But you can also do what some people say, I struggle with fasting. Okay. Let's do this. Just miss one meal a day or two meals a day. Exclude all the snacking. If you are a breakfast person, maybe you eat your three meals and you say, I'm going to fast for all breakfast. I'm a breakfast person. Don't pick the one. If you skip breakfast every day, don't pick breakfast. You're not giving up anything. But if breakfast is yours and that's your favorite meal, or lunch or dinner, and you're saying, these 5 days, I'm giving up my breakfast. I'm going to give up my breakfast for these 5 days. And I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to give God that time. And what you do is you pray about the things that we have, or you pray about that thing that's going on in your life that you're asking, and pick up your Bible, read a little bit, pray, and go on with your day. The next day comes around, you do the same thing again. There was a young man who had never met his father. He wanted to meet his father, but he didn't know. And he finally found out where his father was. But he didn't know how to meet and didn't know how to do all the things and how to try to connect. He didn't want to connect. He wanted his father to connect with him. He fasted for breakfast for 7 years. Every morning he would fast and breakfast, asking the Lord to move his father, that he would contact him, because he knew that he was there. And one day he got a call after 7 years of fasting. Listen, sometimes it takes a while. But I want to tell you, God blesses faithfulness. God blesses those who will step out, not trying to be better than everybody else, will step out in truth. Listen, fasting is about your faith being exercised in it. Okay? Some of you may choose to fast for the first day of the fast and choose to fast for the last day of the fast. What you're doing is, everybody has a busy schedule. I have a busy schedule. You have a busy schedule. But what you're saying is, I'm going to make my schedule. I'm putting God in my schedule. Not just in my worship, not just at those things, but I'm putting God in my schedule this week. He is the most important this week. My time with Him will not be changed. I will focus on those. I will focus on that time and be with Him. Okay? Is that it? Okay. Just a couple things here real quick. When you're fasting, make sure you're praying during that time. Those times. You need to, it's okay to pray for other things, but your fasting time needs to be focused on what you're praying for. If you don't remember, write it down. Okay? You got to remember, okay? Accountability partner is good. If you find somebody and say, listen, I struggle with fasting. I need an accountability partner because I picked Amber to be my accountability partner. So I would say, Amber, let's text each other at a certain time and let's share how it went and we'll go from there. Okay? Accountability partner, somebody that you're kind of doing it with. Doesn't have to be the same time. Okay? Read your Bible during those times of meals. Do something to participate. We need to do something to participate. We do. Is fasting important? Yes, it is. Is it biblical? Yes, it is. Is it hard? Yes, it is. But it is needed. Do you know that last year we fasted that we might grow up in Jesus? Remember that. We took a challenge that we would take the first 6 months and not ask God to bring any visitors, no salvations, and no baptisms for 6 months. We had no visitors that I can recollect. We had no baptism. We had no salvations for 6 months. We would reconvene and meet again, once again, on the first Sunday night of June. We met on Sunday night of June. It was a small crowd, but we did meet. We passed the microphone around and people testified, are we ready to go on? And people said, yes, we're ready to go on. Do you know that after that, we have had almost a visitor every Sunday? You understand that? We've almost had, now, do they always stay? No. We've almost had visitors every single Sunday. People that are not, we're not so much involved in the church are become more involved into the church. Baby steps, more involved. We're starting to see God do some other things. Our numbers are increasing in some aspects to a point. But I want to tell you, God is continuing to help us financially, doing things, seeing a few baptisms. We're seeing those things. God blesses those who fast. And this year, we need these things to make new life go forward. Can we do it without a fast? We probably could. But if we want God to move in a miracle way, I'm not tired of seeing miracles. I hope that you're not either. But if we want to see God move in awesome ways, listen, I don't want to call her out, but Brandy's a miracle here. I say she's a miracle. But we always want to look in the mirror and see what's God doing for me instead of what's God doing around me. And all that work, is it worth it? When you see someone change their life, is it worth it? Is it all worth it? All the finances, all the people that are serving, all the people that are moving? Yes, it is worth it. It is worth it. Folks, I'm going to close with this. Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, of a man who was beat down on the road. The Levites, the believers walked by and didn't help. The priests, the Levites walked by and they didn't help. Matter of fact, the Bible says they walked on the other side of the road and did one of these things. Like, I don't see you, but they saw. But there was a man who wasn't even a believer. He was a Samaritan. He found the man that was beat up, picked him up, and put him on his own camel, his own horse, his own mule, took him to town, touched him up the best that he could, and he gave him to the innkeeper, gave him some money, and said, hey, if he owes anything, I'll be back in a few days, and I'll give you the funds. See, listen, people can only do so much with people. But God did not call us to be a good Samaritan. God called us to be an innkeeper. That means we get filled up with broken people. Does that make any sense to you? We always talk about the Good Samaritan, but the Good Samaritan helped, but then he let go and gave that person, that broken person, to the innkeeper. That is this place. And because it is so broken, with so many broken people from time to time, we need God's hand. We need to learn how to love people that don't look like us. We need to learn how to love and work with people. And we need God to show us how. Because I only have so much love in me. I'm sorry, I do. I only have so much forgiveness, mercy, and grace. But God is greater than me. And He is greater than you. And we need Him to give us more. Because it's going to take more to do more in the future. Amen? Need a vacation? Take a vacation. But be a part of this fast somehow. So I'm going to ask you all to stand up for a moment. And we know we got a song coming up before we close out. But I want to ask you a question. What are you going to fast for? You saw the things there. And before you leave, right there is a piece of paper of the things we're fasting for and how to fast. So you take one of those as little pieces of notes that can help you. But what are you fasting for? Are you on this side of the door afraid to go in? Today you can ask God to give you strength and courage to do the fast. You don't have to have the answers right now. Just say, God, speak to me. Give me, how am I going to fast? How do you want me to fast? One day, half a day, one meal every day, 2 days every other day, daytime, nighttime. Oh, Lord, you call me to do 5 full days of fasting. Whew. Whatever it is, you can't do it in your own strength. You got to do it in the strength of the Holy Spirit.